Okay.
Okay. Well,
we're live.
I think we're live.
Yeah, we
technical
can.
Difficulties
we,
have been.
We are live. We're live.
Well, you are now. I hear you coming through my laptop.
Oh, that's excellent. Technical difficulties
have been. We are live.
Well, you are now. I hear you coming through my laptop.
Aha.
Whoops.
Well, there you go. Yeah, just turn the laptop down.
Oh, okay.
Because like, we're on a delay.
I was like, where's the echo coming from?
That's, okay. That's cool. So now that we're back live, and we haven't officially started the show, but you know what? It's now 25 after 9, and we have Damien from NYC Rocks on the phone.
He's patiently been waiting.
He really has been patiently waiting for us to fix this.
I think we'll start the show with him.
Yeah, because we don't want to hold him up too much.
And we'll start the show after that.
Right.
With the music, so... Damien, how you doing?
Good.
We had asked you a few questions. I'll reiterate
if you don't mind rehashing everything.
If you don't mind rehashing, how is it that you pick the subjects for your different episodes?
Well, I approached Wendigo actually initially and asked them for some help in doing some casting, and they hooked me up with a bunch of people. You know, they came into the store, and I did kind of interviews, kind of get to know you interviews. Probably did 20-25 people, and just decided to pick a couple who, you know, were active in the community, in the rock scene. They were out there, engaged, and also were characters that came off well on camera, had some interesting personalities, and just, you know, tried to. To show a little, you know, would have interesting stories to tell.
Yeah, the shows are very, very interesting. They come off really well. You did a really good job with them.
What was the thought behind starting the series? You know, what made you think, hey, I want to do a documentary about the New York music scene?
Well, you know, I guess it kind of was spurred on by the closing of CBGBs and how everyone was constantly lamenting the past, but it's like in reality that rock and roll CBGB past was a long time ago, and it's just like, well, what about what's going on now? Let's look towards what's happening right now instead of constantly looking in the past. So I really wanted to document and kind of give some exposure to what's happening now, like in the moment, as opposed to, you know, you see some rock music documentaries and it's people and they're talking about what happened back in the day. So it's kind of more about trying to be in the moment and capture things as they're happening. That was the initial kind of impulse to try to do something.
Yeah, it's great. Kind of rehashing the metal scene in New York as opposed to, like, you know, like you say, reminiscing about the past. That's really that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to do both, but it seems like no one's doing what's going on now, you know, and without there being kind of interest in mainstream media and the rock and metal scene, it seemed, you know, I thought there's probably an audience for it that people would be interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, because there really hasn't been much talk of the whole scene. Like you said, it's a lot of rehashing. Like, you know, when you see things on TV about the New York City scene, it's, you know, the Ramones, the Police, Talking Heads, the stuff from the 70s, and of course, you know, the early to mid 80s New York hardcore scene. And then there's that big hole, because in the last 20 years, really all that people talk about is L.A., Seattle, things like that. And then, you know, rehashing some of the bands that made it in that time frame. So to see something like this is really great, because you're able to cover bands that, you know, people here in New York City know about and the New York City scene as a whole, but you're bringing it out to a lot of the other people that, you know, really maybe are not too keen on what's going on, whether it be the bands involved in the scene, the people involved in the scene, and just the scene as a whole. So it, you know, it's coming along really well. And how many, you might have asked this question already, I was texting somebody back, how many episodes do you have so far that are in the can and ready to go?
I think there's five. I mean, the Wendigo episode is kind of broken up into three parts. So there's six total parts, you know, and the Wendigo story makes up three parts. And I have a couple other episodes that I've shot that have not gotten edited, but are kind of waiting, you know, could potentially see the light of day. You know, kind of depends how things go. I have to see how this Kickstarter goes and
right. What
the interest is. You know, all this was kind of a test to see whether it's worthwhile to continue pursuing or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten so far from, like, you know, whether it be the Kickstarter or just, you know, people telling you, you know, about the how they feel about the episodes?
I mean, the feedback has been really positive, you know. sometimes I think there's a little blowback where people get say something on camera and later they may wish they've said something differently, or you know, so there's a little bit of that. But overall, people are really liking the episodes because it's kind of showing this, it's getting more behind the scenes. It's digging a little deeper, and I think there's still a lot more potential to go to keep kind of developing that idea of really getting a little more in depth with the people and their lives. You know, I mean, that was the original idea, that it was going to be a reality show, and it's kind of a hybrid reality documentary kind of thing. But the feedback's been really good. The Kickstarter, it's a little harder to get people to donate, you know.
Yeah, we know about that.
Oh, we know about that. Yeah. we've sold three shirts in 12 months.
In 58 shows? 58
yeah. Hence the reason why we have issues trying to broadcast live.
And our computer sounds like a plane starting up.
Yeah, so we feel you there, man. We
understand
what
that is, yeah. Well, we're kind of on the same mission where, you know, we don't necessarily get, you know, just, you know, popular things and you know, just put out the popular stuff. We're trying to get, people that aren't necessarily recognized in the scene and kind of put them forward. And you know, maybe, New York scene, you know, we'll try to get underground music from Sweden. We try to get underground music from everywhere. I mean, we get stuff coming in all the time. So we get, like you said, it's a positive reaction to it, but it is very difficult to get it off the ground. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it is. But the difference what we're able to do now is that we can reach beyond just our local scene here. I mean, through technology, you know, you guys have the power of the internet, and I do as well. We're able to kind of expose these bands to a global audience, potentially. I mean, it takes work to still try to reach those people, but certainly the connection points exist for that to happen.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of cool.
And what would really, you know, like when as you go on with this, and hopefully this continues, because it's done really well, and it's really bringing, you know, it to the masses in terms of what's going on here in New York City. You know, the word of mouth thing is so crucial, because as more people find out about it, you know, and then if you get that one person that finds out about it, that maybe has got a little bit of pull or can get you on like a, you know, some kind of bigger platform, and then it can really go, and that's what it's all about. But getting out there and plugging it, and getting people to watch, and it's difficult, but I really think it's going to be worth it. So we're really hoping that you stick with it, and that there's a lot more episodes to come for sure.
Well, the Kickstarter isn't the end-all, be-all, but, you know, I'll probably have to try to find some funding from some other sources, which is a pain in the ass, and, you know, when people throw in money, then they also want control, so that, you know, I like to be very DIY, so that, you know, trying to do the Kickstarter is my first choice.
I hear you on that
the
one.
Only choice.
Yeah, because when people get involved, they'll... Well, you don't want people getting... And that's the problem, is if you get people that all of a sudden start becoming, you know... funding it, then they can say, well, I think it should be done this way, and I think it should be done this way, and then you completely lose control of what your vision was to begin with.
Right. That's the beauty of the Kickstarter. It's like if the scene supports it can still be kind of independent and part of the scene, but you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I have had people come up to me and say they're interested in getting involved, you know, even doing some editing and shooting, so... You know, there may be other ways to kind of build up the production value, which is really the idea, because currently I'm kind of doing it all myself, and, you know, it takes a while. You know, it'd be nice to have multiple cameras and editors so we can turn it around fast. It takes so long, but, you know, I mean, a lot of these episodes happened last summer, just coming out now. So, you know, it's got to be kind of a faster turnaround, you know, that's the idea.
And it's tough, because what you're going through, because when you do it yourself, it's just, there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so many times that, you know, or so long that you can edit, and you're doing it all yourself. It's very time consuming for people that don't know the whole post-production side of things, and I'm in that. I know it very well. I'm a freelance photographer, so I know all that goes into it, and it's very time consuming, and... you know, so just the fact that you're able to do it yourself so far is admirable. And
even putting together the show here, it's, you know, it's an hour show. I mean, it's very time consuming as well.
Well, so we don't forget this very important point. Where is, for everybody who's listening, whether it be now live or on the show reels or downloading on iTunes, where can they go to get to your Kickstarter page if they want to kick in some money? Where is the Kickstarter page at?
If you go to Kickstarter.com and do a search for NYC Rocks, it will come up.
Perfect.
That's again, the easiest way.
Again, also, our media page, we have a category for NYC Rocks, and there is a link to their Kickstarter page there as well.
Excellent. So you can either go to Kickstarter.com and type in NYC Rocks to the search, or go right to MetalThunderRadio.com and go to the media page, and you can access it through there, too.
That is correct, yes.
Good deal.
So, yeah, you recently did a release party for your newest episode. How did that go over?
That was really fun. We did a screening party for the last episode, and it was at 3 of Cups, where a lot of the people involved kind of hang out. It's one of the centerpieces of kind of the social network of the rock community. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was a pretty good turnout for a Monday night. A lot of the people and bands that were involved were there. And people were really reactive and vocal, you know, yelling at the screen and clapping, and it was a lot of fun. Awesome. It was a nice way to kind of end this run, and you know, for me, it was nice to make it an event where that has a social aspect as opposed to just putting stuff online. You don't know who's watching. You don't know how people are reacting. You know, it's kind of like playing a show. You actually get to see the energy, so it was really cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a nice kind of adrenaline boost for you as well. Everybody reacting like so wildly towards, you know, and I created this, so that's really probably very cool for you.
Yeah,
as well.
it's always good when you can actually see the reactions of people. Like I said, on the internet, you can't really see what's going on, but when you're there and you actually see the people reacting to what you put together, and they're watching it for the first time, that's a great feeling, especially when you get that positive type of reaction. And you're right about 3 of Cups, and we were down there recently as well. Great place, right there. Was it East 5th and 1st Avenue? And it's just a really cool place, and it's right in that in the Lower East Side, right in the heart of the music scene of New York City, so it's a perfect place to go to, just in general, just to hang out and listen to tunes.
Yeah. They got Morgan DJing there, that's very cool, and they have Mickey behind the bar, who's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a great place.
Absolutely. Is there anything else?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those special places that has held on and still exists, that it hasn't been taken over by gentrification.
Yes,
exactly.
Do you have any sneak previews or spoilers that you can kind of let go here, or you know, just asking?
Well, you know, I can tell you that the Irving Plaza thief who stole all the gear, which you saw in the first episode, mm-hmm. That he was caught, and that's exactly how that happened and how that all went down. If you watch the last episode, you'll find out. I do a recorded my conversation with the detective who, you know, when he called me to tell me about how everything went down.
So oh, that is awesome.
All,
okay.
All the details.
Yes, that is cool, because that part I have not seen, so I'm looking forward to checking that out for sure. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we let you go about your business and go do your thing? Anything else you want to throw in there?
Well, there's 4 days left in the Kickstarter, so if, you know, you want to check it out or support it in any way, you know, sooner the better, because there's not that much time left. And yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad you guys are supporting the project and are interested, and you know, hopefully we can help each other and showcasing you know, underground rock and metal that's going on.
Absolutely.
And
awesome.
Thank you for if you notice, anybody that watches, I think from episode 2 on, you'll see us in the credits.
Yes,
thank you very much.
We appreciate that for you, for putting us in the credits. Thank you.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, we want to help you, and you're helping us. I mean, that's what it is all about. It's about the underground scene pulling together, helping each other, getting the word about these bands out there, getting the word about the scene, and anything that we can do to help you, Damien, please let us know. And, you know, we'd be more than happy to do it. And we'd love to have you on again at some point.
Absolutely.
As we go forward with this, feel free anytime you just, you know, touch base with Brian or whoever and say, hey, man, you know, I got some new stuff going on. We will get you back on the show again to talk about all of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds good.
We can put you on the homepage. We have an upcoming shows page if you have anything you want to promote there.
And next time you're on, we won't have issues.
Yeah,
hopefully.
We'll get you on time.
Thank you for being so patient. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out.
Awesome. Well, listen, you have a great night, Damien, and we will definitely talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.
Have a good one, bro. Thanks.
Later.
Bye.